very short reading. Ephesians 5, verses 1 and 2. Let's read together. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and live in love, as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. You may be seated. May God bless you for the reading of his word. When I was 9 years old, my mother took a job to help out with our family finances. And I remember being excited about not having to stay home and being able to go and be on the job with my father to see what he did. He was a carpenter by trade, and he had started a building contractor partnership here in Tallahassee with my uncle. I remember his first instruction to my brother and me that first morning on the job. He said, "You boys can pick up scrap lumber and take it all to the trash pile and help keep the site clean. And when that runs out, you can watch and pay attention. And if you like, you can learn something. But don't let me catch you sitting down." We knew that what he meant by that. Don't let me catch you sitting down. There were several lessons in that statement of job description that proved valuable to me in the workplace all my career. Number one, get the job done efficiently with purpose, and you may have time left over. Number two, when you are finished and do have time, be creative and learn something new as you go. Number three, don't be perceived as lazy by sitting down and remaining idle while on the payroll. When we did get the trash picked up and had time, I remember watching my dad as he cut crown mold on a wooden miter box that he built and had mounted on a handmade sawhorse. I found small scraps of crown mold laying on the floor, and I asked my dad if I could borrow his handsaw and his coping saw and try my hand at cutting joints. Before long, I could cut a pretty good corner joint in crown mold. I had just watched my dad, listened to his advice, and tried then to develop the skill on my own by imitating his technique. I learned later in school about the methods of apprenticeship in the trade union system that followed the same principle. An apprentice served and worked under the master until he learned to become a journeyman, and then he became a master carpenter. My son helped me remodel our house when he was just a little guy, and now besides being a mechanical engineer and administrator for Mitsubishi Power Systems, he has a love for woodwork and is very accomplished at remodeling and at building his own cabinetry. My daughter imitated her mother, who was an OB nurse, and with a passion to see new life come into the world, she would serve my son and I snacks as we worked, but she is now a certified math teacher and an administrator for a national math education resource firm based in Seattle. She works from home and has a full-time job there with that company while she's a mother to 8 children, ages ranging 17 years to 7 months. So it is a pleasing thing for parents to see their children pick up where they left off and take the torch a little further. Just like it is a pleasing thing for our Lord to see his children walk in his footsteps. Isn't that the challenge given to us today in our scripture? Be imitators of God as dear children and live in love. So how do we imitate God when we are here on earth if we can't see him until we get to heaven? We read further in today's scripture. As Christ has also loved us and given himself up for us as a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. So we see that God wants us to make Christ our example if we are to become imitators of him by loving others and making that love a sacrifice to God. He presents Christ as a stable measure of truth and holiness that we are to achieve. This culture we live in today, for the most part, has lost its bearing because so many have lost sight of Christ as the example of holy living. And we can see that Jesus clarified this point by seeing that Jesus seeing Jesus is seeing the Father in John 14, 8 through 12, as Philip asked a question. Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." And Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you for such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. It is the Father living in me who is doing this work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father." So yes, like Philip observed, we can't physically see God from our position on earth. But as Jesus told Philip, we are also being told that if we see Jesus, we have seen the Father. And from the words of Jesus, we see that if we believe in him as one with the Father, we will eventually do even greater things than he did. I long for Jesus to use me this way, to be a part of praying for the sick and to see them be healed. I want to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit and to give myself up to him completely. I know that you do as well. So who is this man that we worship and are to imitate that we call Jesus? Pastor Rodney did such a thorough job in his Easter sermon outlining who is the Son of Man. For those that did not hear that sermon, we know that just with a small amount of digging in the scripture, we will see that Jesus was no ordinary man. He is God. He is man. He is co-joined with the Holy Spirit, who is also a spirit person. They operate as one in the Trinity of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Deeper research into Scripture tells us that Jesus was here from the beginning with God during the creation, and yet he left that place of wonder to be transformed as a man by immaculate conception and birth to the Virgin Mary. All this was in the plan of God from the beginning, that Jesus would leave the side of his Father and come to earth as a sacrifice to redeem us back to God the Father after the fall of man in the Garden of Eden. He was born in a stable and laid in a manger, a feeding trough for animals. There was a myriad of God-inspired prophecies from over 700 years before that time that Jesus filled exactly to the letter. This is the accuracy of God's word being fulfilled. It is not by accident that any of it happened exactly as it happened. So God sent us Jesus. What does he want from us? We are asked to strive to be like him, to be imitators of God. We read another of his apprentice accounts in John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he sent his own son, so that whoever believes in him will have everlasting life." Again, confirmation that God wants us to use Jesus as his example. He sent Jesus to come so we can see and learn what he is like and to believe in him. It was God's love. It was God's desire that initiated this plan. And Jesus was a loving and willing Son of God that did exactly what his Father wanted him to do because he loved his Father so much. Jesus is clearly much more than we can ever become on our own. And yet we're asked to live like him, to strive to be like him, to imitate him. But we also know that he has agreed to provide us the help that we need to succeed. Clearly, this is not something that we can force. It is not something that we can put on our to-do list and to go through our check one by one, striving to get it done on our own. Jesus does not work like that. It is a matter of love and of submission to love for him, plain and simple. Out of love, we read scriptures to learn more of this wonderful story. Out of love, we study the life and the words of Jesus. We pray for divine guidance, and we open our hearts and our ears to his voice out of love for him. His is a quiet voice. It will not usually be a thundering, booming voice for all to hear. It will come in moments of weakness many times. It can come when he chooses, of course, but he has a way of knowing when to come. It is our job to recognize his voice and to know he is only concerned for our good out of love for us. In John 10:14 through 18, we read Jesus' words, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. I lay down my life for the sheep. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. Can you hear the love that he has for each one of us in that short statement that he made? As good as it was, this is more than the 1990s movement to wear a WWJD bracelet that asks us, what will we do when trapped in our worldly dilemmas? What will we do, what would Jesus do when trapped in our worldly dilemmas? He is our shepherd. He desires a relationship with us. He desires that we hear his voice as he guides and directs us. His Father loves him because he is willing to lay down his life for us. His long-term will is that we grow to be like him and that we learn from him daily, hourly, even minutes of the day. And yes, he will allow trials in our life. These come from consequences of our own decisions many times. But he uses these trials as a way to allow us to learn and mature. His methods are much like that of a loving teacher or a coach who puts us through rigorous training so that we will succeed in the final exam or the championship game. And after falling and getting up again over and over in our lives, we realize that we are being taught by the greatest teacher of all. And when we recognize who that teacher is and what he's actually doing in our lives, we finally gain perspective of his love. He does all this to move us toward perfection out of his love for us. This love is a sacrificial love that we do not naturally have for ourselves or for others. So yes, to become an imitator of God, it behooves us to continually study the life of Jesus and to try to get the essence of his way of thinking, reacting, and doing. How else will we know where we're headed? But in addition to that, it requires our commitment to pray and to talk to him. It requires that we question our own understanding before we make decisions and we ask him to guide us. I myself have struggled most of my life to get to this point of yielding control to him. I've always been an all ahead full kind of a person that when I decide to do something, that something usually becomes a list of things that I must accomplish to get to my goal. But this is different. I've tried of my own strength and failed so many times. Now I'm listening to Jesus to lead me. I'm learning to listen to that still small voice of the Holy Spirit as I go through life and as I read his word. This is where he's leading me, to get to know him better and to develop a personal appreciation for his love. So how does Jesus love? The love of Jesus is the most incomprehensible part of his nature to me. We as humans are burdened with a self-centered nature. Jesus is above that sin. As human beings born with a sin nature, a love like this seems unattainable, but we are challenged to try. And only with his help, as our life progresses through one trial after another, one hurt after another, one success after another, one failure after another, eventually we will get there. To imitate Jesus' nature, we must observe that he first is a servant, putting others before himself always. He is our sacrificial lamb, giving his all for the sake of the world. Giving his all for the sake of a world of people like me and you is what he does. He loved even his enemies, and we see over and over again that children are a favorite of his. In Matthew 11, we find a discussion that occurred when John the Baptist, who was now in prison, sent his own disciples out to meet him directly and to ask him, "Are you the Messiah, or is there another to come?" Now, Jesus did not ever avoid the truth, but he often gave the truth in a different way so that those that heard it might ponder in their heart to figure out what he meant and to get to know him better. Just as he answered the Messiah question in Matthew 11:4-6, Jesus replied, Go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, and those that have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me. He is saying in his own way, and for them to realize, can't you see through all these miracles and know that I must be in the Father and the Father is in me? We are one. Jesus liked to answer questions with a parable or even another question. He had the wisdom of the Father in him and knew that he would eventually be called to give up his life. But he knew also from the Father in him when that time was to come. And until that time, he resisted answers that would generate early actions that might interrupt what he had come to teach and accomplish. He had miracles to perform and lessons to leave us, so the outward words, yes, I am the Messiah, were avoided. This is just further evidence of his humble nature. He is the Messiah. He did not need to brag or advertise, nor did he need to sell or convince, because he is who he is. His position was confident. It was then in his time on earth, and it is now, the task of the world to bow before God and to recognize that Jesus was sent on to the earth for our salvation. Jesus went on to cast a woe on the towns of Chorazin, Bethsaida, and Capernaum that had seen the miracles and had not repented and acknowledged him as Lord and Messiah. It was tough. That was tough love based on God's truth. He will do the same again today for those that have heard his word and still rejected him. Jesus could see the beginning and the end. He knew the fate of those that would not recognize him as the Son of God. They would die into everlasting death and anguish away from his Father. So this was done out of love for them. He tried to wake them from their misguided ways for their own sake out of love for them. And I personally believe that Jesus is showing us this pattern as a way for us to share our faith today to our misguided culture around us. We know that he spent a good bit of time on earth delivering the hard truth to the Pharisees and other church leaders that out of greed and quest for power had missed the truth. He recognized that they had gotten entrapped in their quest for power and money and temptations of the material life. Yet he loved them enough to go head to head with them to try to help them see who he was. He did this knowing that they would eventually have him killed. Jesus is seen many times in the accounts of his disciples, loving his enemies and doing all that he could to help them see their error. He wanted them to make up their minds to worship him using their own free will out of love. He does not want to force love with any of us. During that same gathering cited in Matthew 11, 25 through 26, he then referenced children in his prayer to his Father, thanking him that while these grown wise people had refused to see who he was, that God had allowed children to understand and believe. I love how the King of the world, Almighty God, shows his love for children. At that time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, this is what you were pleased to do. And we can also see that Jesus says that his Father was pleased to do this. Right after this confrontation with the Pharisees in Matthew 11, 27 through 28, Jesus goes on then to lay it out for all to hear in a way that perplexed those that opposed him, and yet truth was there for those who believe in faith like children do to be able to see so clearly. Jesus said, all things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father. No one knows the Father except the Son, and those whom the Son chooses to reveal him to. For those that are willing to believe like children and come to him can hear and see clearly that Jesus is saying that he is the Son of God. Yet those that oppose him struggle and can only make Jesus out to be a blasphemous disrespectful, self-centered individual that is trying to take away their thunder on the earth. But little children have no problem being taken under the care of a loving adult or parent or Lord. It is easy for childlike faith to see how Jesus came to see us all, show us all who the Father is someday, to help us to see the Father. This childlike analogy can also be used as an illustration when looking at how children get along on the playground. If there's an argument, with a little correction, children can forgive and forget the issue and move back to having a good time together. This image of church and followers of Jesus being like his children, believing in faith, is a good goal for us to set on our horizon. As a child, I innocently followed the directive of my father to learn work ethic, and it was very good for me much later on. I did not know the depth of the teaching at the his teaching at the time, but I was learning to be obedient by imitating my father. My prayer is that the eyes of our culture will be opened again to see that Jesus is the only visible means by which we can follow the directive to imitate God. And further, that we will turn to him for direction. Those that do not want to imitate Jesus run a high risk of eventually being self-consumed, aspiring to be in control of much worldly influences, or being wrapped up in the things of the world. They often see this kind of faithful worship of Christ as a threat to their independence, yet they will often hold money and social influence in the same position of God in their life. It is such a simple truth. Imitate Jesus out of love, and you're imitating God out of love as well. Our God sent Jesus for this purpose. That was his goal, to show himself to us so that we could have a better relationship with him. We can't have one without the other. They are one. We can't let the distractions of the world cloud the real issue of this higher love shown by Jesus being paramount in God's economy. If we trust and believe in the words of Scripture, which were inspired by God and written by compliant men who eventually gave their lives to imitate Jesus, that trust and obedience will allow humility to fill our lives. Much like a compliant child that has love and respect for his parents, we believe that desire, we yield that desire to control our own destiny up to Jesus Christ alone. It is no wonder that Jesus mentioned children in such a favorable light. In Philippians 2, 5 through 8, we read, "Your attitude should be the same as that of Jesus Christ, who, being the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death." Jesus listened to his Father at all times and did exactly what his Father showed him to do. We must strive to imitate his example. I know that as I strive to imitate him, I have to continue to say, "Thank you, Father, for not leaving me out of your inheritance for everlasting life. Thank you for forgiving me for those times that I have leaned on my own understanding and did not even know what I was doing. Thank you that I knew that I had to be cleansed and shaped and molded to spend eternity with you. Thank you, Jesus, for your sacrifice for my salvation. He took care of all that for me." For each one of us, Jesus was like an eclipse, like a solar eclipse. On the cross, he was willing to pass before the Father's eyes so that our unrighteousness could not be seen. He sacrificially passed before the Father, such that the Father could no longer see us except through him. And his cleanliness became our cleanliness. While this is sacrifice and love all rolled up together, while we know that this is a very hard act to follow, it does not eliminate the need for us to do our best to imitate his sacrificial way of living. So in closing, I revisit the challenge before us as the first word and the last word for the day. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and live in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we look up for you. We look up to you from our frail position in humanity. And we thank you for your mercy and your love for all of us as children. We want to be like you, our Abba Father, our Daddy. We pray and we thank you for sending Jesus, your Son, as our sacrifice for us to be able to come even to you now in prayer. Help us to hear the quiet voice of your Holy Spirit and to know you as you guide us in this life. Help us to imitate the love of Jesus that we see in the scriptures written about him. Help us to represent the love that you have for us, for all to see and know you. And help us to give that love away to those around us. Help us to be available to those who need prayer, who need kindness and encouragement, who need food, who need a helping hand. Help us to love sacrificially. Like you have loved us sacrificially, and in doing so, to give you the glory for all the things that you've done in our lives. We ask this in your name, the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.